coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta. This is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
And this promises to be a great hour, a lot of fun, and a learning experience all the way around for everybody involved. First off, I'd like to welcome Idabel, Oklahoma. Wow, it's great to have you guys here. We've been talking about you for the last month. Welcome to the Armed American Radio Network, you listeners on KBEL 1240 AM, Idabel, Oklahoma, down there in southeast Oklahoma.
They beat us, by the way.
Who did?
OU.
Oh, did they?
I think so.
Okay, all right. Let's not get off topic here, Sean. It would be easy to do. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we talked about a disturbing event that unfolded and is still unfolding up in Madison, Wisconsin. And that event was sparked. Actually, let's just not say the event was sparked. We'll get to that in a second. Let's say the reason that we brought it up here on Armed American Radio is because it's what we do here. We are always fighting for the right to keep and bear arms. That's the most important part, open carry or concealed carry. And unfortunately for the folks in Wisconsin, they are one of two states who cannot exercise the right to concealed carry and are relegated to open carry to exercise those rights. And I received an email that stated, and I'll read just first line here. On Saturday, September 18th, Wisconsin Carry received a call to our hotline about an incident in progress at a Culver's restaurant in Madison, Wisconsin. Five of our members who had met at previous Wisconsin Carry events and on the opencarry.org discussion forum planned to get together for dinner at Culver's restaurant near Easttown in Madison, Wisconsin. They were, of course, open carrying as they do every day. Sean, we have the 911 tape, do we not?
Yes.
Let's run about a minute of that, folks, because what you're going to hear now is the actual 911 call about five people who were exercising their constitutional rights peacefully and lawfully. Sean, let's run that.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
I don't know if it's an emergency, but I'm out at Culver's at Easttown.
Yeah.
I see that there are two men, then one's in a black T-shirt, I can't see the writing on it, and another man in a T-shirt with a long gray beard. They both have sidearms on, fully exposed, what appear to be guns.
And they're inside the Culver's?
No, they're sitting outside at a picnic table.
Okay. At Culver's Easttown.
Yes.
Correct. And what's the phone number where you can be reached?
I'm on my cell phone. What is my cell phone number?
All right, Sean, let's go ahead and cut that real quick. That was the call that came in, folks, and you heard the caller call 911 expressing concern that she saw two people that were openly carrying guns. And let's state that the folks were outside the restaurant. They had been there for a couple hours peacefully with absolutely no incidents whatsoever when that call was made. Now, I have here in the studio with me noted Second Amendment pro-gun attorney and member, and John, I guess I can call you executive at Georgia Carry, right? There's been some change there?
I'm the vice president. That hasn't changed.
Okay, vice president of GeorgiaCarry.org, and believe me, folks, John is well up on what's happening here. We'll tell you that in a second. And also on my line, we have Nick Clark. Nick is the founder of Wisconsin Carry. Nick, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend. How are you?
Mark, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. First of all, thank you very much for calling. This topic needs to be discussed, and it needs to be discussed further, more so than in a little bit more in depth than we talked about it last week for a number of different reasons. And you heard the 911 tape, obviously, you're neck deep in this. And that tape goes on for about another 4.5 minutes. And what is the most important part? We don't have enough time, Nick, unfortunately, to go through the whole thing. We might pick a piece out of it here in just a little bit if we can. But what's the most important part of that call to start this conversation that you took from it?
Yeah, clearly in that call, and the caller demonstrates probably 3 or 4 times as that call progresses that there's no disturbance, that there's the guys aren't doing anything wrong, they're not threatening. As soon as and after she gives the description of the guys, which takes a couple minutes of that call, the dispatcher informs her that it's legal. And as soon as she finds out it's legal, she responds that, well, then there's no problem. The dispatcher then kind of says, well, if you are disturbed, then it could be a problem. And she verifies again, oh no, they're not doing anything wrong. And The 911 dispatcher goes on to say, well, we're going to send someone out. And when she finds that out, the caller says, well, no, I feel bad. There's no problem. So the most important thing there is the caller clearly indicates that there's no disturbance, nothing threatening. She didn't know it was legal. And as soon as she found out that it was, there was no situation.
That should have been the end of it right there, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to be pragmatic about it, if the police want to drive by and reassure her, that would be great. The police can observe the same thing that she just observed, but it's really up to the Madison Police Department how they want to use the resources of their department. Sending 8 officers to an open carry call, I think there's better uses of resources in Madison, but I'll leave that up to the police chief.
One would think, I would agree with you on that. Now, you bring up a great point, because what happened next? The cops did show up, 8 of them, as you mentioned. And what happened after that?
Yeah, 8 officers arrived, and at that time, 3 other members, and the guys had been there for a couple hours eating. You know, some of them were from Madison, some drove quite a while to get there to have dinner. So they had dinner, and I think they probably spent an hour, a little more, in the restaurant, and they were just leaving. So that whole time in the restaurant, no one in the restaurant had been upset enough to call. Then when they're leaving, the 8 officers approached them and basically demanded their IDs, threatening that if they didn't show their IDs, they would be arrested for obstruction. And of course, our members know, because of a previous incident here in Wisconsin, that you're not required in Wisconsin to show your ID if you're not, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. It's not a police state. You don't have to show your ID. Secondly, they're aware that, you know, no law allows officers to arrest you for obstruction for not showing your ID. So at that point, 3 of the members, under the threat of arrest, showed their IDs under duress, and 2 of the members still refused. And those two members who refused to show their ID were arrested for obstruction.
Now, those charges were dropped, and
correct,
all 5 were then mailed citations for disorderly conduct, correct?
Correct. This happened on a Saturday night, and then on Tuesday of the following week, the obstruction charges were rescinded. And I'm sure what happened is the police department, you know, higher ups got back to the office on Monday and did a little research and saw that we've actually, and John's very familiar with this, John Monroe, because he filed the lawsuit. We had a lawsuit against Racine for a similar, almost identical situation where they arrested someone who was doing nothing wrong. They just refused to give their ID, and we obtained a judgment against Racine of $10,000. So I think upon finding that out, the Madison Police Department they rescinded the obstruction tickets, which, of course, were indefensible, and then further injustice, issued 5 disorderly conduct citations.
Okay, John, let's bring you in here to talk a little further here in some more detail. Rob Pincus was my co-host last week, and Rob was questioned about the showing ID factor involved
right
here. And under the scenario that he gave, I agreed with him. And that scenario was, he says, to keep a situation from escalating. Now, what he was referring to was not specifically Wisconsin. He was talking about this because it came up in conversation, but what he was referring to was in general, in toto, if you will, that he says, why wouldn't you show your ID in a situation that has the potential to escalate very badly? Why wouldn't you show an ID to police officers? Now, that's a personal decision, and Nick, you and I talked off air about this a little bit over the week. And I applaud both sides. You can see both sides of the story here. These guys were under threat of arrest. And we had 2 guys, right, Nick?
Correct. 3 guys that decided under duress to show their IDs, and
right,
2 that refused.
Okay, John, your thoughts on this.
Well, you know, it's one thing if the police request an ID on a consensual basis. But if they're detaining somebody, then that implicates the Fourth Amendment. They obviously have reasonable suspicion to believe someone's committed a crime, or they shouldn't be detaining them. At that point, it's really not in your interest to be giving information to the police. You know, if they're suspecting you of a crime, you shouldn't be making any statements. You shouldn't be giving any information. And the police are the ones who have escalated the situation at that point, you know, not the citizen. And, you know, if the citizen chooses not to provide an ID, I don't find any fault in that.
Okay. The fact of the matter is that these guys were under duress. It was under threat of arrest. 3 of them chose to show their IDs. because they didn't want to get arrested. Maybe they didn't have the time to get arrested right then and there on the spot. Obviously, you can see that.
Right.
You know, a very bad situation to be in, doing nothing wrong, and here you are under threat of arrest by law enforcement. Now you have a decision to make. I respect that decision. Quite frankly, I don't know what I would have done. I would probably have done, my own personal opinion, I probably would have refused up until the point, like these guys did. You know, I have to make a decision. Am I willing to get arrested right now and proceed? And when we come back from the break, we'll talk about that a little bit more here on the Armed American Radio Network with Nick Clark of Wisconsin Carry and Second Amendment attorney John Monroe. See you in a second.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? Or are you stuck in a tax payment plan that is getting you nowhere? The IRS is now taking very aggressive actions, such as bank levies and wage garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. As a hardworking American, you do have rights. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-605-3241. That's 1-800-605-3241.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com. 17-year-old Hannah says, "Sealed Mindset helped me develop a sense of self-value. I deserve to protect myself." Sealed Mindset student Rick said, "I took the course to protect my family. I asked my wife to take the course because I can't be there all the time." Sealed Mindset provides real knowledge, real skills, and real confidence in its world-class personal security training programs. For more information, visit SealedMindset.com. That's SealedMindset.com.
One shot, one kill. That's Extreme Shock, the world's most advanced ammunition. For self-defense or hunting, there is no equal. Engineered to inflict maximum damage on its target, Extreme Shock's composite bullets fragment on impact, delivering devastating stopping power and carving catastrophic wounds. We've got the photos, videos, and testimonials to prove it. Find a dealer or order now at ExtremeShockUSA.net.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
This hour of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, the GOA, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Join the Gun Owners of America, folks, at gunowners.org. I did. Welcome back. Welcome back indeed. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Whew, good conversation. We're going to take it through the remainder of the hour. Fascinating stuff here. But first, before we get back to it, Chief of the Madison Police Department, right, John? His
yes.
name is Noble Ray.
That's right.
At the top of the first hour, I opened up the show, excuse me, giving Chief Noble Ray, Armed American Radio's first Bonehead of the Week award. We'll give him the only Bonehead of the Week award this week, and we'll give it to him every hour of the show. How's that? Because this, his press release. Tell us about his press release real quick.
Well, I think contemporaneously with the, actually it was in the press release, the announcement that the initial charges were going to be dropped and that that all five would be cited with disorderly conduct. The chief announced that he had instructed all of his officers that in responding to calls for armed people, that they should disarm everyone and search them and determine their status. I guess, in other words, find out if they're convicted felons or something like that. Basically, the chief has a policy now of detaining anyone seen carrying a firearm without regard to whatever the Fourth Amendment might happen to say.
In blatant violation of Wisconsin law.
Well, and federal law.
And federal law. Okay. You had mentioned earlier that the police have escalated the situation at that point by demanding IDs under duress, under threat of arrest
right.
to the five men that were there, or anybody in any situation at that point in time in Wisconsin. It doesn't have to be these five, but in any situation. The cops have now escalated the situation.
Right.
Rob's position last week was de-escalate the situation. And by that he meant, okay, at that point in time, really the call is up to you. Now, you mentioned the situation is escalated. The cops have escalated the situation. That's just a fact of what's happening right now and then, right?
Right.
If they're threatening to arrest you, what's going to happen next? Your advice would be what?
Well, I would tell someone to do whatever they feel like they need to do. You know, if you don't want to deal with the arrest, you know, showing the ID, I don't blame somebody for doing that, but they're certainly not under any legal obligation to do so. And if they didn't want to do so, I'd certainly support that decision.
Okay. And the fact of the matter is, you're going to be arrested. You're going to be cuffed, depending on the situation. Again, there's a lot of variables here. Maybe they're bluffing. Who knows? You know, you just don't know. No, if you're not in that situation, and every situation is different. Certainly we see, Nick, I know you'll agree with this, that we see situations all the time where overzealous officers who do not know the law and armed individuals can escalate very badly, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, I mean, I've seen situations where, you know, people can really try to do everything within, you know, you could be reaching for your ID and an officer could take that
right.
aggressively, so, or interpret that as an aggressive action. I mean, ultimately, I believe it's a person's choice. There's a lot of factors that go into whether you decide to show your ID or not, but certainly if someone decides not to show their ID, I mean, it's critically important that the officers abide within the law, and it does us no good to elect people to go to the state house and make these laws if the police are going to have de facto powers that the legislature did not give them.
Right.
And I think that's a choice that people make when they decide not to show ID, is that, hey, yes, this might, you know, I'm going to get arrested, but ultimately it's time to make a stand so that, you know, you don't enable the police to, again, assume powers that the legislature has not given them.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what I mean by the fact that, you know, you can see both sides here. Like John had mentioned, you can certainly understand why somebody would do that. You know, being arrested is a traumatic experience. Nobody wants to go through that. Now you have two guys, and man, I tell you what, I applaud these guys who are willing to do that. Because let's face it, Wisconsin, a little bit behind the times up there. This is, you know, we're not going to have, no, I mean, we do have problems here. And John's over here laughing. Talk to me about Wisconsin real quick.
Well, Wisconsin has is one of two states, I think you mentioned earlier, that does not issue any licenses at all. Concealed carry is a crime. Still, the only means available to exercise Second Amendment rights in Wisconsin is to carry openly.
Right. And guess who we have on the line right now? I see him on there, and that's Rob Pincus is blinking in. Rob Pincus, welcome to the Armed American Radio, my friend. How are you today? Rob, are you with me? Looks like we've lost Rob. Anyway, I can certainly understand not wanting to be arrested, not wanting to be cuffed and hauled down, and I can appreciate that position and showing the ID. But I'll tell you what, I applaud the guys who don't. Nick, it would be difficult, I think, for anybody to say what they would do in that situation. We all say what we would like to do in that situation, but I think the actual situation itself is going to unfold, and the events that are happening in real time are going to dictate what each and every one of us do. Correct? You made the point about saying not what's, you know, someone telling you what to do, but what they would do, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a great opportunity for people to express what they think they would have done, and what you know, the reasons why they might have done something in that situation. But like I said, certainly every situation is unique. I mean, there's times in Wisconsin right after the Attorney General issued his memo letting people know that open carry was legal, there was times when you still expected police, you know, response. And there was times if I was in a hurry and I was going to run an errand, I had to pick up, you know, my girlfriend's kids. There were times I chose not to carry because if I was detained for a half hour, I was going to be late. Another situation, going to the same store, I mean, I would absolutely carry. So each individual situation, depending on the factors that exist at that time, it's up to the individual person to decide, you know, whether to carry or not, and whether to, you know, what they could expect from police response and what their response would be to that.
Okay, well, one thing I don't want to do is overshadow the right to carry, the right that that folks in Wisconsin are fighting desperately for, the right to carry and hopefully concealed carry soon. You know, the ID thing, hey, that's great. We all, you know, I think everybody can agree to kind of disagree on whatever situation it is. I think everybody's in agreement here, if that makes sense. I applaud the guys who didn't. Believe me, I applaud the guys who didn't. It takes tremendous guts, a lot of fortitude, and, you know, it's guys like that that pave the way. The guys that did show ID, same thing, because they're now involved in the lawsuit. There's five, right?
No, the lawsuit that was just filed was only Wisconsin carry. The people that were charged aren't plaintiffs in the lawsuit.
Okay.
Because they still have charges against them.
Right.
And you can't sue for civil rights violations when you have the pending state charges against you.
And they have the disorderly conduct charges.
Correct.
All five. Rob Pincus is on line two. Rob, welcome back to Armed American Radio. We got you here.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. How are you today?
Great. Just finished up the after-day debrief with my combat focus shooting instructors conference here in North Carolina, and I knew you guys were going to be talking about this this issue. I wanted to call in, going to check in with you, let you know what was going on with us, and see what was going on with you guys.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're in because you were involved in the conversation last week, and the one thing that's important, Rob, is everybody is focused on fighting for Wisconsin's rights. You know, a tough situation up there right now, a very difficult situation. And what I did was I had asked Masad Ayoub to come on the program. He's traveling. And I think I've got about a minute and a half here. I'm going to go ahead and read his response. I asked him about it. Take a listen to this, folks. Masad Ayoub, of course, author of dozens of books, including the what many people consider to be the Bible of concealed carry in the gravest extreme, written in 1980. Too many columns to mention, and one of the nation's foremost personal defense, self-defense, expert witnesses. And Masad was kind enough to write me back an email, and I understand we're not going to have enough time now. When we come back from the break, what I'll do is read this email, Rob, and then I'll kind of go around as we do in the roundtable and go around the horn. John has already seen it because he's in the studio with me. I'll ask for your comments, John.
All right.
Then we'll go to Nick, and then we'll go to Rob, and we'll get a perspective on what Masad thinks on this entire situation up there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mark Walters, and this is the Armed American Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
With consumers still looking to save money wherever they can, getting the most out of their cars continues to be very important. Jody DeVere, president of Women's Automotive Association International, knows that using quality products in your car today can help save money in the long run.
Motor oil is called the lifeblood of your car's engine and one of the most important ways you can protect your investment. But all motor oils are not the same.
DeVere recommends asking for a high-quality oil by name because Pennzoil and Quaker State, for example, invest heavily in comprehensive product testing and are formulated to meet the demands of today's engines.
Don't leave the oil choice to the person behind the counter, because using a high-quality motor oil in the right grade can help maximize fuel economy, minimize emissions, and help save money by preventing costly engine damage.
For more information about the importance of high-quality motor oil, visit motoroilmatters.org. I'm Ron Javers.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Car Arms and Auto Ordnance. Make sure to check them out. All their fine products, including the world-famous Car PM9 at KAHR.com. That's car.com, KAHR.com. Check them out.
Check them out indeed. It's great to have Car sponsoring Armed American Radio. Great stuff. Welcome back to the program, and a good one it is. When we left for the break, rudely interrupted by commercials, I might add. However, we have to. I was getting ready to read an email from Masad Ayoub. Masad is, a quick rundown, a prolific author, very well respected in the realms of personal defense, a recognized national expert and witness, and a tremendous author of too many books to mention and too many columns to mention. But I asked him about the situation up in Wisconsin, and I received the following email to read on the air tonight. It says, Mark, I haven't reviewed the reports or seen both sides of the Wisconsin incident, so can't really comment on that specific encounter. Speaking in general, remember, folks, he's speaking in general. I am in favor of laws allowing open carry in every state. That said, going armed in public has to be done judiciously and non-confrontationally. If the stated goal of some open carry activists is to show the public that those who open carry are law-abiding citizens, it seems counterproductive for them to have encounters with police in public in which they refuse to identify themselves. Politely showing one's ID to the officers upon request is the action that will, indeed, show the members of the public that the people open carrying are ordinary, non-dangerous citizens like themselves. Deliberately provoking confrontations with police does not send a positive image. In virtually every state with CCW, it is common custom and practice to show the permit to police upon request when carrying concealed. Some states, Texas for example, actually require the carrier to inform the police that they are carrying whenever they have a contact with law enforcement. Why should open carry be any different? Recently, the California state legislature reacted to highly publicized open carry incidents with a bill that would have banned even unloaded open carry, and it came very close to passing. This is the handwriting on the wall that shows us all how confrontational open carry can backfire on gun owners. We who carry have to face the fact that the openly worn gun sends a message to a citizenry that has been conditioned by the media to fear guns and the people who own them. That message is, quote, "I have the power to kill you at any moment if I choose," unquote. This is not the message the honest gun carrier is trying to send, but unfortunately it is the message that many who see the gun receive and construe. We have to recognize that and conduct ourselves in such a fashion as to alleviate that fear. A man with a gun refusing what most citizens would see as a logical and simple request for identification, and instead appears to be an unknown armed man arguing with a police officer, will, predictably, frighten some of those citizens. Frightening the voting populace is simply not the best way to bring those voters to our side of the fight for the civil rights of gun owners. Respectfully submitted, Masad Ayoub. Now, John, I want to start with you, then I'll go to Nick, and then I'll go around the table to Rob. Go ahead. Your comments about what Masad is saying here.
Well, first of all, he said a couple of times the word request when he's talking about the police wanting the ID. And I understand what he's saying, but that sounds like it's a consensual encounter, which is what we described earlier. When the police are demanding the ID, they've already escalated the situation. And, you know, I think it's a different situation from a request for ID. And Masad's perspective, being a former law enforcement officer, is a perspective of what a reasonable officer would do. But you don't always get the reasonable officer. And by way of example, just this week, I filed a lawsuit against an officer who stopped my client here in Georgia. And when the officer discovered that my client was armed, the officer pulled his sidearm out, pointed it at my client's head sitting in the driver's seat of his car, and said, "Get out of the car or I'll blow your bleeping head off." That's what this officer did when he found out my client was armed. That's not a reasonable thing to do, and I don't think that's what Masad would have done in his years in law enforcement. But you have to face the fact that we're dealing with some police out there like that.
Absolutely. Nick, jump in on this one.
Yeah, well, a couple things, and I certainly, you know, no one could argue with the resume of the gentleman who wrote that email for you. But in this situation, I mean, with respect to public perception and things, you know, when the police show up with eight officers for five guys, I think the perception of the public is already then tainted from that point. So, like I said, after that point comes, you know, the officers have escalated the situation in the way that John describes, who really escalated the situation and who is really disorderly in that situation. So, you know, and I certainly share with all our members to be polite and be a good example. And those guys were a good example for an hour and a half before the police showed up. Public response in Wisconsin has been overwhelming for our members in this situation. So I think that, you know, obviously to be polite is very important, and you can refuse to provide ID politely if our members had not chosen or had chosen to, if all of them had shown their ID. This can would have been kicked down the road, and we just have to deal with a police response in the future that might be more of the same. So it's an issue that has to be dealt with. I think people understand freedom and rights when you bring it to the forefront, and I think the people of Wisconsin understand that when they stop and think about it, you know what, maybe this isn't just someone carrying. Maybe this is if I want to, you know, if I come out of a polling place in a very conservative district and I've got an Obama shirt on and the police walk up to me and demand my ID. Is it just polite to show them your ID, or are you going to wonder why they're asking for it? So I applaud the guys that didn't show their ID. I totally understand the reasons why one might choose to show ID. I don't think it makes a bad public perception. I think ultimately the public needs to be educated, and this is an opportunity to do so rather than just kick the can down the road and have a you know, enable more of this in the future. And I will say, by and large, the police response in Wisconsin has been spectacular. By and large, we've had members that were requested ID. They politely declined. Excuse me, members whose ID were requested, they politely declined. And the police said, "Yep, that's your right, and you know, go on your way." The police, you know, did what they were authorized to do and requested ID. The person declined, and that was the end of the situation. So that's what I think. I think that the public is intelligent, and they can understand the freedom aspect of this, and as long as the members are polite and abiding within the law, we have the truth on our side.
Another great response, and I want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, that Mossad was not referring to or insinuating that the folks in Wisconsin were not polite. They were. They did everything right. Law enforcement was wrong. They've been sued. Rob Pincus, your response to what we heard from Mossad.
Everything Mossad said, I think that what's missing from the other responses, and hello, John and Nick, I appreciate you guys coming on the show. I think it's awesome to discuss this. I think what the perspective and the piece that Mossad brought to the table is when you put the gun on, you now represent everybody who wants to carry guns to defend themselves and may not care about the political activism that goes along with that. And they want to protect their rights and they want to defend their rights. But most importantly, the reason you carry a gun is to defend yourself and defend your family, not to political activism. So what happens from my perspective is that when John says that you don't know if you're going to get the reasonable officer, I agree with that 100%. And what that means is when you're wearing a gun and a police officer is concerned that you might be a threat, you might not be a law-abiding citizen, you need to show him that you are, show him that you are a cooperative person, show him that you're not there to cause any trouble. And again, that does reflect on the rest of the public that might happen to be watching the situation. And everybody else, that police officer is going to influence from that point forward. I think that it is a negative to not cooperate with a police officer. Similarly, the idea that when you're carrying, and then I think maybe it was Nick that mentioned somebody else, if they're wearing an Obama shirt. And as I said in one of the online forums this week when we were discussing this, if somebody wants to wear pink plaid shorts and pink fuzzy slippers and march around in the town square until the police pay attention to him and ask him for his ID and then say, no, I refuse because it's my right, God bless him, and I'll back him, and I'll back him fighting for his rights to not show the police the ID. But the minute he puts a firearm on, he needs to remember that firearm is there to keep him safe, not as a political tool to get attention, and then fight about whether or not you're going to demand, show ID when the police request it, demand it, whatever the semantic argument is. I think that's really important to remember.
Excellent point. Again, when we come back from the break, we will continue the discussion, and a great one it is. This is the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, folks, and we'll be right back.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-412-7799. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-412-7799. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-412-7799. That's 1-866-412-7799.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us
who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Didn't think you could afford that new AR-15? Yes, you can. Check out the DTI-4 by Delton. The 16-inch M4 comes fully equipped with a collapsible stock, car handguards, A2 flash suppressor, cleaning kit, two 30-round magazines, a sling, and a beautiful hard-sided case, all under $760. Delton, priced right for any budget. DEL-TON.com. That's DEL-TON.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Gallagher, and I'm filling my prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters.
Welcome back, folks. I wish Mike Gallagher was here. He's a lot of fun. And this conversation, ladies and gentlemen, is a good one. Did you hear Mike Gallagher? John's looking at me going, what?
Who?
What is it? Mike Gallagher. He just came back on the rejoinder there. Talk host Mike Gallagher. He's really cool. I would love to hear what he has to say about this. He's very pro-gun, very pro-Second Amendment, as we all are. And folks, we're talking about a situation in Madison, Wisconsin. And I should say Madison is probably not the most conservative town in the Midwest, is it, Nick?
I think the term that I've heard used is it's the Berkeley, California of the Midwest.
Okay, that pretty much says it all. I've heard that too, not just from you. In fact, my father told me that earlier today that he had heard the same thing. Yeah, I guess they turned out about 26,000 for an Obama rally here a couple days ago, I think, over at the campus. But what we have, Nick, you guys are fighting a battle up there that eventually will be won because the law and the Constitution is on your side. It's as simple as that. And
Absolutely. It is.
And unfortunately, in the process, there are situations like this are going to arise. John and I are having some fun conversation here off air in between the breaks. And, you know, some we agree with. You know, John was talking about a point that Rob had made. And, you know, the police are our employees. They work for us. And when they ask you to cooperate, John's comment was, no. You need to cooperate with me. It's the other way around. And unfortunately, Nick, you know, these situations, although in the short run for the guys involved, really stink because nobody wants to get arrested, but we have people who are willing to toe that line. I think the bottom line comes down to, and again, John and I were talking about this off air, that if law enforcement has escalated the situation, if they have escalated the situation, let's just cut to that right there, they've escalated it by insisting under threat of arrest that you do something unconstitutional against state and federal law, the situation is escalated. The fact of the matter is that the situation will end to their satisfaction at that moment in time. And people, good people, like the five guys in Wisconsin, and in particular, really, in this case, the two, right, John, that refused to show ID, were willing to risk arrest. And that's what has to happen in this situation, Nick. And unfortunately, there's going to be more of this, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think the last thing, just to kind of wrap up that, the issue of showing ID and the comments that Masad made, and as well as Rob, when we talk about open carry being a public demonstration and stuff, I mean, and two things. Truthfully, in Wisconsin, people that open carry aren't making a public demonstration. They're just carrying the only way that you're allowed to in Wisconsin.
Right.
But I'll take a step back and say that if open carry, and even in other states, you know, and when Wisconsin gets concealed carry and people choose to open carry, if open carry is all about making the best, putting the best face on carry, then we could take a step back and forget showing ID. Let's suggest to everybody who open carries that you only wear collared shirts and that you wear slacks. And I mean, if we really want to make the best impression for open carry, that's really where we'd have to start the discussion. So once we get to the point of, you know, refusing ID for a police officer, I mean, we're walking down a road that, you know, quite frankly, I think, you know, you have to kind of stand on principle before that and say that, you know, we're losing the message of freedom if we have to say that, you know, people have to look a certain way to give the best public impression of the open carry movement. It's really not about that. It's about individual rights, and individuals dress how they want, they respond how they want, and stand on principle when they want to. And I fully support the members' choices, and I would kind of reject that. I encourage people to evaluate their behaviors and how it's perceived, but ultimately, if you're abiding within the law, everything you do within that realm is your choice.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to wear khakis to open carry rather than a pair of jeans, right, John?
Well, that's right, and I agree with Nick, and like I said during the break, I don't agree that if you want to exercise your Second Amendment rights, you have to check your Fourth Amendment rights at your door when you leave the house.
Now, you have filed suit this past week?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Wisconsin Carry, whom I represent along with some co-counsel in Madison, has filed a lawsuit against a Madison police chief for his policy of detaining everyone seen carrying a firearm.
Madison police chief, bonehead of the week, Noble Ray.
That's the one.
Oh, good. Okay, good. You didn't call him a bonehead in the lawsuit?
I don't remember that the word bonehead appears in the complaint,
okay.
No.
Okay, tell us more about the lawsuit. What's cooking here, and what do you expect? How do you expect this to proceed?
Well, the lawsuit is seeking to enjoin the chief from enforcing his policy and basically get a declaration from the court that that carrying a firearm doesn't constitute reasonable suspicion to stop somebody.
Okay, so basically what's going to happen to him is the same thing that happened eventually to all, let's use the analogy of Chicago Mayor Daley. Eventually, someone is going to smack him upside the head with a copy of the U.S. Constitution, and he is going to have to abide by the law, correct? This seems to be an open and shut case in my eyes.
Well, I haven't had an open and shut case yet, but, he took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and I'd expect him to abide by his oath.
Okay, and now this is a civil suit.
Yes.
And will it go, you expect it to go the distance?
Assuming that they don't change their policy, I would expect it to, yes.
Okay. Have we seen any sense that Chief Noble Ray, the bonehead of the week, will change his policy? Has he uttered any public statements? Let me ask that to you, Nick, because you've actually worked with him publicly, correct?
Yeah, I did a panel discussion / debate with him and a constitutional law professor from the University of Wisconsin.
Let me guess. He said he's pro-Second Amendment at some point, didn't he?
Are we talking about the chief, or are we talking about the law professor?
The chief.
You know, he and that's the frustrating part, is that it's really a slap in the face to people who really understand constitutional rights, because the chief kept saying that they have three goals, and one of those goals is to protect constitutional rights. And to be honest, I can't think of one that he has protected. From the conversation that I had with the chief during that panel discussion, he really thinks that if you're open carrying, that's reasonable suspicion for disorderly conduct. So pretty much anybody that walks out of their door is now there's now reasonable suspicion for the police to stop them. Now, he indicated, of course, and he used this as an example of him respecting constitutional rights, that the following week we were in Madison and some guys were carrying down State Street, and his officers observed that, and they didn't do anything. And I don't think that because one time they chose not to interfere in a situation or come into a situation and stop people indicates that they're respecting people's constitutional rights. I think in Madison, from the police chief's standpoint, you know, he uses these words like totality of circumstances and case-by-case basis to really muddy the water so people have no idea when they could or couldn't carry without, how could you walk out of your door and know if you're going to get arrested or not for disorderly conduct? Because it's not about your behavior anymore. It's about these other ambiguous things like totality of circumstances and how other people feel. So in Madison, what the chief is really saying is, you know, you have the constitutional right to carry, but sometimes when you do, we might charge you with disorderly conduct, and sometimes we might not. And that's not a right at all. That's the right being deprived.
All right. Well, so what he's doing is he's trying to put on a public face here, basically,
yeah,
in different situations.
Yeah, I think he's really trying to leave it, and this is what we see in Wisconsin, as some departments, and you know, most are. We have some great law enforcement here that understand, that got the memo. They understand open carry and abide very well within the law, but especially in Madison, it appears that they, you know, the tactic of fear and ambiguity is used to keep people from carrying, and instead of respecting the right that they do have the right to carry, and let's inform the public. And when the public calls, let's inform those callers that this is legal, and let's calm those callers, and that's the way to protect constitutional rights.
Well, very well said. Nick, can you stick around for us for the roundtable?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Rob Pincus, can you stick around for the roundtable, my friend?
I can definitely be there for at least the first segment.
Sounds good to me. We also have a call from Bob. Say again, Rob?
I was going to say, I definitely have some questions for Nick to follow up on that segment.
You got it. We also have a call coming in from Bob in Wisconsin. We'll get to him momentarily. I'm Mark Walters. We'll be back with John Monroe to further the discussion. It's a good one, so we're going to continue to carry it on and maybe bring up some different points. Rob has a couple that he wants to make. So stick around, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters, with John Monroe here in the studio in Hotlanta, Georgia, and we'll be right back.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.
This year, most of the U.S. had the kind of weather that would make a polar bear call in an order for a Snuggie. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. If you were working from home with the 3-Step Plan, you wouldn't have to fight the snow or traffic. You wouldn't have to worry about what to do with the kids on snow days. The 3-Step Plan could make it possible for you to work from the comfort of your home and earn as much or even more than you do sliding around on the pavement going to work for somebody else. Most people build a home business with the 3-Step Plan on a part-time basis. But many do develop a business that earns more than they did working at a job. Can you picture yourself beside the fireplace with a telephone and a computer working your own business? To find out how you can make more money working from home, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.